You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by our ag strategist, Tobin Gorrie. Tobin, good to have you on again.
Good to talk to you again too, Belinda.
Now we are here for our quarterly chat on the agricultural space, which there's never any shortage of topics to talk about, but certainly since our last chat 3 months ago, the macro landscape has definitely improved. I think there's a lot more optimism about 2021 on the economic recovery, but also because of the vaccine rollout. One interesting area that I'd like to get your thoughts on is we're starting to hear more chatter about inflation. Now, inflation in many forms, like in Australia, we've started to see some examples of demand pull inflation. So where there's been lots of money poured into particular items where there's been strong demand, we're seeing it. But what about on the food side? Are you starting to see any evidence of inflation come through? And also, what does it matter?
Well, I guess there's a few aspects to it. Is a lot of prices for ag commodities are relatively high now, and that is they're starting to push through into food prices across many, many countries, not just here in Australia. So that's an important thing. In the past, it's been a source of, particularly in emerging and developing countries, it's been a source of unrest back in 2007, 2008, when we first had the ethanol bulge going through the corn market. We had Mexico with tortilla riots because the price of basically a staple dietary item in Mexico had gone up some 400%. And then a few years later, during the Arab Spring, food prices were a contributing factor. Not the only thing that brought up unrest, those a lot of those countries, disconsent, simmering away a lot of the time anyway. It doesn't take much to get to the boiling point, but food prices can get there. So, we're beginning to see again this rise in food prices. So, we're seeing a re-emergence of issues we haven't seen for, obviously about a decade now. But that is a symptom of what is a relatively tight supply situation for a lot of key crops that either consume directly or they end up as animal food.
And are we seeing any evidence of like nationalism come in, any prevention of exports, and is that being seen as an impact on particular markets?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. So almost it's a bit of the flip side of this is that countries that import food have high food price inflation, but countries that export a lot of food start to slow down exports to keep the food at home and keep their own prices under control. Russia has done this a number of times, but this year's taxation regime is a little more extensive, a little more long-lived than it's been before. So, that a few other countries, Russia is the single largest exporter of wheat in the world. So when they start restricting supply, that does flow through to prices. It's certainly boosted wheat prices in the last few months.
And now I'm just remembering back to our chat 3 months ago, we spent a bit of time talking about a potential for a turf war, and that's really on the basis of tightening supply for particular commodities, particularly I think in the grains and oilseed space. How is that tracking now? Have you seen any impact on prices come through?
Yeah, if you think about 2020 crops, which we saw in the 2020 crop year, even though we're in calendar 21, but 2020 crops, I think when we last spoke, we had a lot of issues with South American summer crops because it was very dry down there, very, very hot. It was early in the crop year, right? So people worried that, we're going to get big cuts to, production forecasts in South America. Now, that would have taken us into a turf war. What's happened since is that the South American weather's got a lot more friendly since then. So the threat is kind of, we're back from the brink of that turf war happening in the 2020 crop year. 2020 crop year inventories, at the end of it, are going to be mostly tight, but if they're not tight, they're close too. We've pulled back from the brink, but we're not 5 miles from the brink. We're still close to it.
And so what about when you think about 2021? Is the potential for a turf war going to continue?
Very much so. I, the interesting thing about, just going back to 2020, we didn't really have a lot of big crop failures in 2020. Europe had had a bad year. That's one stands out. But you know, there are other places where US corn crop wasn't as big as we thought it would be at the start of the year, but still pretty big. You know, and Brazil will produce a record soybean crop this year by a fairly big margin. So it wasn't a year of low crops. But what we did lose was that we lost that little bit of supply, and that took that inches closer to tight supply. 2021 crops, thinking ahead now, is we need those crops to work, and it doesn't really take too much markdown from your default expectations at the start of the season to end up with fairly tight supply conditions. Now, in that case, prices for 2021 substantially lower than those for current crops, so they have a lot of potential to rise if we do stumble into that turf war zone.
Very interesting. Now, turning our attention closer to home, and the Australian agricultural sector is looking a lot brighter. We have had significant rainfall compared to the last several years indeed, and it's now looking like we're in store for a very good winter wheat crop.
We'll be the largest wheat crop on record. And even the notable thing about that is that generally you need a big crop in Western Australia to reach those records. That's not the case this year. Western Australia's crop wasn't bad, but it wasn't great either. But we've got a huge crop in the east. So, the eastern wheat crop, basically South Australia, round up to Queensland, that's about just under 24 million tonnes, which is about the same size as a normal Australian crop. So that's to give you an idea of the scale of that. And as you mentioned, the weather took a lot better turn this year with that. Crop grows in the east, move through some tough years. Some people, a string of tough years. Having a good year like this, when prices are reasonably high as well, it's good luck, but it's overdue good luck, if you like.
Now, we've also, and being from the Australian economics team, have looked into the Australia-China trade tensions quite significantly to see what impact they will have on the macro economy. Now, if anything, it's going to hit the, and it has been hitting the agricultural space more specifically. Have you seen any impact on particular ag commodities?
The impact varies. If we go to the example of China putting hefty tariffs on Australian barley, which effectively excludes it from the market, the context we have is not really a lot of grain around the world. The impact of China, obviously you're going to go and buy that somewhere else, but it's not like that we're left without a market, because China buying it somewhere else means someone else can't buy it and we can buy to those people. It's not perfect in a sense that getting the same prices, you obviously would, or making the same profit, but so that impact is less. It's irritating, and causes problems for individual businesses, so we can't make light of that. But the problems get much worse when we go down the more value added end, say to wine. Being out of the Chinese market, there is it takes a long while to build those supply chains, build the branding, and get yourself set in a market, particularly when barley is going to other food processors, so it's kind of a professional objective market. Wine is much more a consumer market where there's objective qualities about it, obviously, but it is a branding exercise as well. So it is not only losing sales, but it's actually damaging that sort of intangible brand asset as well. The impact varies, but it's obviously worse for some than others, and wine's probably the worst of the larger ones. But the crop market get off relatively lightly just because there's alternative customers.
Interestingly, about our cattle and sheep industries as well, it looks like things are happening there as well.
Oh, definitely. So, you mentioned before that the drought broke and that helped us get a really big unit grain crop this year. But it's done a lot of things for the livestock as well. The sheep area, the prices have come off really high levels, but they're still quite high. We expect they'll kind of stay up around high levels, but not at those very high levels. Cattle prices, though, are just absolutely going through the roof. They're setting records in many measures, prices we've never actually seen before. So even when you're adjusting for inflation and things like that, these are very, very high prices. Now, the driver behind that has been not only did we get the southern areas of Australia, basically get rain in 2020, the northern wet season, boosted by La Nina, has put a lot of rain on one of those northern pastoral zones as well. So, you know, pretty much the whole of the Australian Australian cattle industry is in rebuild mode. And in Tin Tack terms, that means that it was a big seller because it was a drought, and now there's some people are big buyers, so that's pushed prices through the roof. So again, the result of that is that the prices are very, very high. So there's no doubt that all those pastoral businesses need to rebuild their herds. Australia's capacity and the individual capacity that those businesses want is nowhere near what it is. So it needs to be rebuilt. We just have a note of caution for people, isn't it? You can't just pay any price per cow and expect to be profitable several years down the track. You know, when the capital you, or your asset you paid for is too high in price. So it may be that, you know, you can't get to the size you want as quick as you want. But you know, if you pay too high price per cow, you may benefit from taking another year or two to get there, because you haven't your cost level or your asset price level is not so high.
And Tobin, it is always a juggle in the agriculture space, as you've titled your quarterly report. Appreciate your insights as always.
Thanks, Belinda. Good to talk to you again.
Now you can read Tobin Gorey's AgQ publication on compbankresearch.com.au, and that was published on the 17th of February, 2021.